Christ himself carried up our sins in his body to the tree, so that, free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed. Dearly beloved brethren, the scripture moveth us in sundry places to acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and wickedness, and that we should not dissemble nor cloak them before the face of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, but confess them with an humble, lowly, penitent, and obedient heart, to the end that we may obtain forgiveness of the same by his infinite goodness and mercy. And although we ought at all times humbly to acknowledge our sins before God, yet ought we most chiefly so to do when we assemble and meet together, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at his hands, to set forth his most worthy praise, to hear his most holy word, and to ask those things which are requisite and necessary, as well for the body as the soul. Wherefore I pray and beseech you, as many as are here present, to accompany me with a pure heart and humble voice unto the throne of the heavenly grace, saying after me: Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to the promises declared unto mankind, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who desireth not the death of a sinner, but rather that he may turn from his wickedness and live, and hath given power and commandment to his ministers to declare and pronounce to his people, being penitent, the absolution and remission of their sins. He pardoneth and absolveth all them that truly repent and unfeignedly believe his holy gospel. Wherefore, let us beseech him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do at this present, and that the rest of our life hereafter may be pure and holy, so that at the last we may come to his eternal joy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. O Lord, open thou our lips.
And our mouths shall show forth thy praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Praise ye the Lord.
The Lord's name be praised.
Thank you. first lesson is taken from the second book of Chronicles, chapter 35, verses 1 to 6 and 10 to 16. Josiah kept a Passover to the Lord in Jerusalem. They slaughtered the Passover lamb on the 14th day of the first month. He appointed the priests to their offices and encouraged them in the service of the house of the Lord. He said to the Levites who taught all Israel and who were holy to the Lord, "Put the holy ark in the house that Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, built. You need no longer carry it on your shoulders. Now serve the Lord your God and his people Israel. Make preparations by your ancestral houses, by your divisions, following the written directions of King David of Israel and the written directions of his son Solomon. Take position in the holy place according to the groupings of the ancestral houses of your kindred, the people. And let there be Levites for each division of an ancestral house. Slaughter the Passover lamb. Sanctify yourselves, and on behalf of your kindred, make preparations, acting according to the word of the Lord by Moses." When the service had been prepared for, the priests stood in their place, and the Levites in their divisions according to the king's command. They slaughtered the Passover lamb, and the priests dashed the blood that they received from them, while the Levites did the skinning. They set aside the burnt offerings so that they might distribute them according to the groupings of the ancestral houses of the people to offer to the Lord, as it is written in the book of Moses. And they did the same with the bulls. They roasted the Passover lamb with fire according to the ordinance. And they boiled the holy offerings in pots, in cauldrons, and in pans, and carried them quickly to all the people. Afterward, they made preparations for themselves and for the priests, because the priests, the descendants of Aaron, were occupied in offering the burnt offerings and the fat parts until night. So the Levites made preparations for themselves and for the priests, the descendants of Aaron. The singers, the descendants of Asaph, were in their place according to the command of David. And Asaph and Heman and the king's seer Jeduthun, the gatekeepers, were at each gate. They did not need to interrupt their service, for their kindred, the Levites, made preparations for them. So all the service of the Lord was prepared that day, to keep the Passover and to offer burnt offerings on the altar of the Lord, according to the command of King Josiah. Here endeth the first lesson.
Thank you. second lesson is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verses 1 to 13. Now, the festival of unleavened bread, which is also called the Passover, was near. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to put Jesus to death, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered unto Judas, called Iscariot, who was one of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and the officers of the temple police about how he might betray him to them. They were greatly pleased and agreed to give him money. So he consented and began to look for an opportunity to betray him to them when no crowd was present. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go, prepare the Passover meal for us, that we may eat it." And they asked him, "Where do you want us to make preparations for it?" "Listen," he said to them, "when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks you, where is the guest room, that I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, already furnished. Make preparations for us there." So they went and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. Here endeth the second lesson.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father,
which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
O Lord, show thy mercy upon us,
and grant us thy salvation.
O Lord, save the Queen,
and mercifully hear us when we call upon thee.
Endue thy ministers with righteousness,
and make thy chosen people joyful.
O Lord, save thy people,
and bless thine inheritance.
Give peace in our time, O Lord,
because there is none other that fighteth for us, but only thou, O God.
O God, may clean our hearts within us,
and take not thy Holy Spirit from us.
Beseech thee, Almighty God, mercifully to look upon thy people, that by thy great goodness they may be governed and preserved evermore, both in body and soul, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels and all just works do proceed, give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that both our hearts may be said to obey thy commandments, and also that by thee, we being defended from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness, through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Saviour.
Amen.
Lighten our darkness, we beseech thee, O Lord, and by thy great mercy defend us from all perils and dangers of this night, for the love of thy only Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. The anthem for this evening, Drop, Drop, Slow Tears. The words of the anthem of this evening's hymn anthem are by Phineas Fletcher, who was born in 1596 in Cranbrook in Kent. Educated at Eton, he later studied theology at King's College, Cambridge. He was ordained and served as rector of the parish of Hillgay in Norfolk for 29 years until his death in 1650. The music is by Orlando Gibbons, who was born in Oxford in 1583. His interest in music began at an early age, joining the choir of King's College, Cambridge, as a boy chorister. He became organist of the Chapel Royal when he was 22 and was appointed organist of Westminster Abbey at the age of 40. He is best known today for his English anthems, which are regarded as among the finest in the choral repertoire. This arrangement of Orlando Gibbons' music is by David Blackwell, who has expanded and enhanced the final verse of the anthem with counterpoint, that is to say, by using a combination of different melodic lines.
Truth is not in us. The readings set for tonight have allowed our Lenten journey to take on a different dimension. In the previous weeks, Jesus' story has been at the heart of our story, as we have been observing a faithful Lent. However, it feels like now we have got to the beginning of the end of our journey. Inevitably, the previous weeks have led us to this point. Often in a theatre play, just before the interval, there is a little hint of the story to come in the second half. And it feels as tonight's reading from Luke gives us a hint of what might be to come in just a few weeks. We have all seen this particular play before many times and know how the story ends. And tonight we introduce one of the main characters who will take centre stage in the story up to Maundy Thursday. Judas, the one who would betray Jesus. We don't know a lot about this man named Judas Iscariot in Scripture. His father was Simon and thought to have been from the southern part of Judah. Judas Iscariot was the treasurer for the group of disciples, but even that position made him in part dishonest, as it is recorded that he would help himself from the money. Judas, therefore a name associated with theft, betrayal, dishonesty, a name that no one would want to be associated with. But what about our story? Are any of us completely unlike Judas? As I said, he is a figure that no one would want to be associated with, but often our faith talks of one thing and our actions of another. I'm not suggesting for a moment that we might condemn someone to death, but Judas Iscariot has relevance to our story today. How often do we deny Jesus in our lives? How often do we say one thing and mean the other? How often do we betray someone else's trust? All of the above, although for the 21st century, feel like Judas traits. None of us are beyond betraying our Lord. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, Jesus predicts that one of the 12 would betray him, and each one turning to the other asks, "Is it me?" Because each one realized that they were capable of doing it. The disciples were all ordinary men, plucked from their ordinary lives by Jesus to walk alongside him. We too are all flawed, and sometimes we are guilty of betraying someone else's trust, being economical with the truth, or denying our faith in God and our need for Jesus. Sin on one hand and our need of God to help us on the other has been one of the themes that we have tackled in our Lent talk this year, based on the C.S. Lewis book, The Screwtape Letters. We recounted that the devil puts us in the place to sin or to be tempted, and our life of faith is to be continually strong against the temptations of this life. Judas, we are told, on that night prior to the Passover celebrations, that Satan had entered into him to make him act in this way towards Jesus. William Barclay, Bible commentator, suggests that Judas must have been tempted so badly to open the door to Satan. He, Barclay, describes the human heart as having no handle on the outside, and the heart must be opened from within, meaning that we are all responsible for our own actions. We are all given free will, but we must resist the temptation of the devil. Maybe that is sometimes easier said than done. On Monday of this week, I watched a documentary about Her Majesty's prison in Wakefield, and on it featured some ex-inmates of the prison recalling their time there. Whilst the programme didn't feature specifics of their crime, it did give the sense that those who spoke were quite regretful of their time there, and now reformed, were looking from the outside in and were glad to be away from the prison system. Anyone would, I suppose. There was, for one inmate, the recognition that although he knew he had done wrong, there was always someone else who had done more wrong, and that he allowed himself to atone for his sins more easily. So if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The ex-prisoner hadn't tried to deceive himself that he hadn't done wrong, but recognizing his sin and repentance of it had allowed his life to be changed for the better. I hope that none of us finds ourselves in that situation where we might have to repent for something as huge as murder, but we know that a life with Jesus and true repentance of even the smallest sin brings freedom. This season of Lent allows us to look afresh at our foolish ways and allow God to make clean our hearts within us, as our words tonight invite us to do. Judas's actions on that night set the tone for the climax of our story. The final scenes of this play will take place over the next few weeks. Will you stay around to watch this drama unfold, to see if good does triumph over evil? Amen.
Thank you.
power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. Some words from our psalm. And my soul, be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. We give thanks for this opportunity to be together tonight, to be through our worship joyful in the Lord, restored in our faith, and rejoice in our salvation. Lord God, we hold in our prayers your church spread throughout the world. Pray for communities preparing to celebrate Holy Week, for the great ceremonies that lie before us. Father, we hold in our prayers this community of which we are part. We pray that through our prayers and devotions, we may draw closer to Jesus, and in so doing, love and serve him in our lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For they have privily laid their net to destroy me without a cause. We continue to pray for the people of Ukraine, as revelations today of further atrocities there. We pray for peace. Pray for all those carrying heavy burdens. Pray for those who are grieving. For those refugees seeking a better life. We pray for our government and the governments of the world and all who work for peace for that nation and the other nations of the world where there is conflict and tension. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for this community in which we live, for our friends and families and neighbours, for all those homes and people within them anxious at this time about the rising cost of fuel, for all those carrying other burdens at this time, a loved one at home in need of care, anxieties about jobs, struggles with mental health issues. We commend them to you, Lord, and trust in your care for all your people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we offer our prayers for those whom we especially carry on our hearts this evening, for those whom we love and who love us, for friends we know to be in need, for the week before us, its joys and its challenges. We commend them all to you, knowing that you know our need and are with us always. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for those who've asked for them, for Ginny Camponi, Tom Heafy, Jeff Blowers, Sharon Clark, Beryl Laverick, Shane Simpson, and David Coates. We pray for them and those who care for them, and pray too for those in long-term care, for Mary Metcalf, for Doreen Hoare, Margaret Burton, George Brown, Jennifer Mode, and Mavis Cross. And as we pray for them, so we pray for those who work in our care homes. Pray, Lord, amidst all the challenges they face, that they might be agents of your compassion and love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we remember those who have died, among them Alan Cross, Barbara Dacre, and Pat Hyde. And as we remember them who have died recently and those who grieve them, so we give thanks and remember those whom we love but see no longer, as well as remembering Charles Hoare, Mildred Butterworth, Mary Chadwick, and Audrey Dignan, whose anniversary of death falls around this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. So as we begin this new week, which we commend to you, O Lord, in a moment's quiet, we offer any other prayers, any other need that is on our hearts this evening. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ crucified, draw you to himself, to find in him a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.